Luke 12:16-17. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" You know, it's amazing to me how much that when Jesus speaks in parables to the nation of Israel, and I would assume that they were mostly fishermen because of where they were located around the Sea of Galilee and the location of the land. There was sheep and stuff. But he always made reference to things being cultivated, things being produced by the land, things grown and things died. Talked about agriculture a lot. And so when we read things like this, sometimes we might have a tendency to skip over a little bit because we might just see this. It's easy when we read passages like this, we kind of pass over it sometimes because it talks about crops, talks about a rich man. So somewhere way back in our subconscious, we kind of think a rich farmer, right? He's talking about these grains that are coming about. He's talking about these granaries that he has. And when those come to overflowing, the guy says he's going to tear them down and build bigger ones. And so we start thinking about this as, we kind of have a hard time putting this in a spiritual perspective. Matthew 13:8-9, Jesus also spoke this, "But others fell on ground and yielded a crop." I'm sorry, "Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." And so sometimes when Jesus is speaking these parables, or when the Bible is talking to us, there's several places that we can read in multiple instances based on what he's talking about. He feels it necessary to say, "If you have an ear, listen to what I'm saying." And I think that he does that not because you're not reading. I don't think he does that because you're not trying to understand. I think he's trying to say that some things, he's talking about something that's physical, but he wants you to understand, he wants you to hear that he's talking about spiritual things that are going on in your life. Because crops are grown, crops die. You know, a famine hit the land in Egypt, and had it not been for the stuff that was set aside, the whole world fell into famine. Okay, so we have good, we have bad, we have ups and downs. But when he says, he finds it necessary to say, "If you have an ear, listen to what I'm saying." The more that I read and the more that I study, I'm convinced that these letters that were written are so personal. Because if we really understood the things that Christ was trying to show us, that His apostles were trying to show us, is they were trying to show us the terribleness of this world and the reliance that we truly have upon God to get through these things. Because when it comes to whether if the grass is going to grow or if the melon is going to be good when you cut it from the store, if the meat, even though it has an expiration date a week from now and you go to cut it and cook it and it just stinks, we really don't have any guarantees except for what He has given us. He who has an ear, let him hear. You see, there are other crops that are yielded in the eyes of God. And so when He's talking about crops here, I think He's trying to show us something a little deeper. Luke 12:18-19. "So He said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink, and be merry.'" When I read this, I'm right in the middle of this verse. The first time that I ever saw this was when I was reading, I think it's in Peter, when it says, "Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance." And I saw myself right there. It was the first time that I ever realized. And I saw myself between self-control and perseverance. I thought I really was learning one, but I hadn't got the other one under my belt. And when I read this, I realized I'm right here. I'm right here. We're buying a house for our retirement. One floor, no steps, no falling. Hopefully, who knows? Falling level ground, but less of a chance. And I'm right here because I'm thinking about retirement, and I'm thinking about having the house paid off so that we have more when we retire so that we can enjoy our life after work. And so I can't just jump over this. I'm reading this, and these are the things that comes right to my mind. You know how it feels. Your chest kind of tightens up, and you start realizing that God is looking into your soul by the Word of God. And I saw myself right here. He tells you, take ease. He's saying that the thought was to take ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And I thought about the things that we were thinking about doing so that we could entertain our friends, our families, that we could have a good time. But also understood that there's a warning that comes with only thinking about these things. But the honest truth here is there's many things in our life that bring us joy that increase over time. Our families increase. I mean, at one point we were the kid. We were the ones running around wreaking havoc, and that our grandparents were so glad to see us come, but they were so glad to see us leave. And at one point we were the ones that worried our parents to death and took what they were trying to save and squandered it away because we just totally had no respect for the stuff that we had. We destroyed it. We just thought that it was owed to us. We were the ones. And then we start to grow up and we become the adults and our family starts to increase, that our children grow up and they have children. And then we have friends that come over who have children. So our families, our inner circle starts to get bigger and starts to get bigger. And when we get older, one of the things that we just truly love doing is just sitting and talking. I never understood why older people just wanted somebody to come and sit and talk with them. Now I know. There's so much in life that we miss when we're growing up and we only think about ourselves. And the wisdom and the love that these people have that are in our life, that we call them grandparents or parents or uncles, that we just shun for the majority of our life. And if we had to do it all over, we would spend time with them just talking with them. What joy it brings. Retirement, so we can have more time to just do the things that we want. These are things that increase over time. We spend so much of our life working and then coming home and running here and going here and doing this. And there's a point of time in our life when the morning to evening, as we would think retirement brings, that there is no restriction on that time. And I know that it gets eat up. I know that things change. But there's an expectation that we will have more time to do some of the things that we as adults had to sacrifice for our kids, for our families, for our jobs, for each other. Our friends, we understand the importance of having someone to share life's ups and downs with. I've not had a lot of friends in my life. I've been a friendly person. I think I've had surface friends. You know, people like seeing me coming. I was fun to be around, but I really didn't have a lot of people that, I guess you could say, had your back, you know, when you were younger. And when you get older, and you find someone that you make a connection with. And it's hard to make friends when you get older, but a lot of them are people that are in your inner circle. It's your neighbors. It's people that you go to church with. It's people that you run into continuously at the grocery store. And you find that you have things in common and that you can talk with someone. You know, it's really hard to put together how much sharing what's on your heart with someone who will really care about listening can help you. And I've not been around for people like that much in my life. That was one thing I wish I could change. But as you get older, it's just a maturity thing. You start seeing things different. You see, with all of these things that increase in our life, we can see how wonderful it can be to say to ourselves, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." See, all this time we thought it was just talking about this guy that had so much food and so much money that he didn't want to share. He was just ornery, he was mean, he was controlling, and he didn't want to spread the wealth and share the food. But as we saw a minute ago, God sees an increase in many more things than just physical. Look at the hearts. He said that yielded a crop. God is changing our hearts. I tell you today that we have to change who we are and let Him change who we are and the things that we think of and the things that we want and the direction that we're thinking our life should be going, because He is the one that's in control. Luke 12:20-21. But God said to him, said to this man as he was preparing these things and he was preparing to do this. He says in the parable, he says, "Fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." We have this system of beliefs. We have this idea of what it's going to take to make us successful, to make us happy, and to make us productive in this life that we live. It's who we are. It's everything that we've tried to accomplish. It's everything that we hope to look forward to, that we set our goals towards. And he says that people who lay up treasure for themselves and that aren't rich towards God, they're fools. What direction do you think God would have my life be? And I tell you, it is the weirdest thing. I've said it before, and I still have no answer for this. I remember as a child setting my brother down and opening up the little Gideon Bibles that they gave, and I would holler at him and pound on the table. And then later on in life, when I thought about becoming a Christian or I thought about going to church, I thought, but I don't want to be a preacher. How in the world? To me, serving God meant that I was going to preach. I didn't know any of that. And now it's the greatest joy that I had in my life, outside of knowing you and being married and having a family. But if you would have asked me when I was Trenton's age or Anthony's age or your age, I wouldn't have thought that any of this would have brought me any joy. I would have categorized my life in the things that I wanted: big house, fast car, good job, lots of vacation, two homes, who knows? But when I became a Christian, all of those things changed. My priorities changed. And I guess at times I still fight against God. But it's a losing battle. He tells me I'd be a fool if I would do that. Few of us are rich farmers. So if that was all he was talking about here, then certainly there was no reason to have this verse in the Bible, at least for any of us. I know Melvin said that his dad used to farm. My dad never farmed. I don't think there was ever any farmers in my lineage. We were called stumps. Maybe we were loggers at one time. I don't know. But few of us are rich farmers. So He's trying to show us something different. Remember, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Jesus was a rich farmer. Did you know that? He cultivated hearts with the Holy Spirit. Because when he had the chance, he said that the Word of God produced a harvest and it yielded something in the people who listened. But yet he denied himself the riches of a life lived to a family, to friends, and to spouses. He denied himself these things so that he could cultivate hearts. You see, the life that we live, that he warns us, will be held accountable to God for. Our family, our friends, and our spouses. I'm here to tell you that someday, somebody is going to need you to be the anchor that Christ was. They're going to need that in your life. And you need to be ready to be that anchor for them. He even tells the churches in Revelation, he says, some of you will be thrown into prison for 10 days. But keep heart. Somebody, somewhere, is going to need the fruit that is being produced by the Holy Spirit of God in you. When that fell on fertile ground and it produced a crop that yielded 30, 60, or 100 times, somebody's going to need to share in that. And I'm not just talking about homes and wealth and cars and things. I'm talking about a real interest in somebody's life. Really being there for them. Jesus was. Even to the point where he gave up family, friends, and spouses. 1 Timothy 6:18 through 19. He tells them, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You see, this parable that Jesus was talking about this guy, he wanted a good life. Later, he understood that he was working right now, and he wanted a good life for later. But he was only concerned about his life later. That's why Jesus called him a fool, because he tells him in 1 Timothy here, he says, rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And this is how we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Not holding on to what we have right now, willing to sacrifice anything for what we have. When it come to that house that we were looking for and trying to make all these things work, there was times that me and my wife, we had, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, we had anxiety that we had to make this happen. And one would say, we can't do it so much. We might have to let this go. And it would be her, it would be me, and it would go back and forth. And God says that we are rich in good works when we're ready to give, willing to share with what we have. And by doing this, we lay hold of eternal life. Share the gospel. Cultivate hearts. Store up treasures that will truly bring peace to your soul. There are many things that we strive for in this life that we think will make us happy. So many of us start off on that path that we have to get to a place where we think, this is what it's going to take to make me happy. If I could just land a good job, if I could just get this car, if I could just get this house, if I could just do this. I've probably been there most of my life. It's always been something else that is needed. If I could just get this paid off, if we could just get over this hill. My dad said it was a day late and a dollar short. And I feel like that's how I've lived my entire life. But I haven't. Store up treasures that will truly bring peace to your soul. If you think Something in this life will bring you peace outside of Christ. Read Ecclesiastes. Solomon said that if his eye desired it, if his tongue wanted to taste it, if his hands wanted to feel it, he did not deny himself anything. Everything that he wanted, he reached for and he obtained. And it brought down his soul. Because he was willing to hunger for that versus the one thing that God says, ask and I will give. And God today is asking you, what is it that you want out of life? Peace? Joy? Security? Forgiveness? Safety? A little bit of happiness. He says, all these things are found in me. But the life that you're striving for, that you're trying to obtain these things by, will only bring death without me. So when God talks about these things and we read these things in Scripture, He's always talking to a Christian. Unbelievers can read the book and they can understand the gospel. They can understand that they have a need for a Savior in their life. And God's going to show them when they read the gospel, the person that, when He said, and Melvin talked about it this morning, He said that, let the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And see, in that gospel message to an unbeliever, the unbeliever is going to see clearly that it is them that have crucified Christ. And the Bible says that the question was asked, if this is what we've done, how can we possibly make this right? And God has always given the answer. Look to me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of my Holy Spirit. And it will bring that peace, that joy, that happiness, that forgiveness that you've been looking for. Because the things that you're striving for in this world, they're not going to bring you that peace. Because I can't tell you how many times I've paid something off and I'm still waiting to pay something else off. Or I pay something off and I jack it right back up. I've had the pleasure of having several different cars, not all of them been brand new. And they're pretty neat and fun in the beginning, but they fall apart. They become a nuisance after a while. None of these things bring true happiness. I've had a few good friends in my life, not a lot. But sadly, we're not friends anymore. All of these things that we look for in our life to bring happiness. And He said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to make room for more. More, more, more. Ready to give, willing to share. If you take what God has given you and you close your fist around it, He can't put anything else in it, can He? And eventually that's going to run out. The only way that God can ever give you anything is if you do this. That's the only way. And that means as things go out, new things must come in. And God says, I will be your provider. I will take care of you. And remember, we start looking and thinking about God's going to give us money, God's going to give us houses, God's going to give us all these things. Go back to what He said. They tear down the barns, they yield, they cultivate, and they store up for themselves, and they want, want, want. That's not what He's talking about. He tells you that the birds of the air need food, and He understands that you need these things. He's talking about eternal life. Whether if you have good days, bad days, if your life ends on a good note or a bad note, He's talking about eternal life, something that will carry on from this life into forever. So He asked the question, If your soul was required of you tonight, are you ready? And for the one that wasn't ready, he looked at him and said, "You fool, why were you not ready?" So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?